Parshas Vayetze. You see that Rashi gives the pshat at the beginning of Vayetze of why it's repeated, from the fact that we have it in the last parsha that Yaakov left Vayelech Paden Aharon, first pasuk in the Matthew over there. Ashiva Shlita says another pshat which we can say is because, as we know, again from the Rashi at the end of the last parsha, that there was a 14-year period where Yaakov learned in the Beis Medrash of Eivir before he went to Lavan. And that's what we can say here, is this repetition is not really a repetition. It's telling us of another Yetziah. He went out from his father's house in the last week's parsha to the Beis Medrash, also going to Paden Aram, but the preparation for Paden Aram was the learning in the Beis Medrash of Eivir. And that's what it says here, Vayetzi Yaakov Mibir Shava, from the Beis Medrash of Shem of Eivir. And that, with that preparation, was ready to go to Haran. You see, Rashi brings here also the pshat, that when the tzaddik goes out, it leaves a reishim, an impression on the place he went out of, the loss of that tzaddik now. I once heard from a Rabbi Kruger, a behested of Shloshim for Rabbi Avraham Pashelis, and he said it the same as grandfather, Rabbi Kruger's grandfather. And he says, it's interesting, Oster Roshim, the expression used, that the tzaddik makes a mark, a roshim, which seems strange, because a roshim, a mark, is not something that's so explicit. It's like an impression, but not what we would think to be said, a lasting knowledge, inspiration of that person. And he said that what Rashi is telling us here, by using that lashon from Chazal, that the truth is, not everyone understands and sees, just like with the Torah itself, not everyone will learn the lessons that are there. The lessons that are there, there's a mark there. Everyone can see it, but whether it will be turned into a lasting knowledge, motivation, inspiration, is only up to each individual. And it says that he dreamed a dream of a sulam, a ladder, standing placed on the ground, on the earth, and its top reaching shamayim. The Chofetz Chaim gives a beautiful mashal. And what this is teaching us is the way a human being ideally should be. Hashem made the human being to live in this world, to be a part of the world, not to be a hermit, live in the desert, and keep the Torah. And that Chas V'Shalom, he's surrounded by Rishayim and he has to leave. But otherwise, one has to live in the world, be part of it, have an influence in Yetz Hashem on others to do the Ritzon Hashem. And that's what the pasuk is telling us. The person has to be Mutzav Arza. That's the way a person was created, be firmly in this world, but always Rosho, his head, his mind, Hashamayim, the Torah that was given in Hashamayim, the blueprint of how to live in this world. That's where the person always has to be. His mind, to teach him how to be part of this world. Then we see that Yaakov Avinu says to Hashem that if he will keep him, watch him, guard him on this way that he's going, and give him bread to eat and beg his little boast, and return him the shalom, then he will make this matseva here a Beis Elokim on his return, and he will also give him meiser of all he gives him, all that he has. It's interesting, we see Yaakov Avinu does not ask for the greatest riches in the world. Simple, just to exist. Lechem echol uveged lubosh. The Hasidus Shlita points out that when he is in the house of Lavan, at the end of the 20 years, and he tells Rachel and Leah about that Hashem is telling him to leave. So he mentions that the Malach came to him in a dream and shows him the tzon, akudim, nekudim uvrudim, that are being brought to him, to his flock, that he's taking care of, to his wages. And it says there, ki ra'isiyas kol asher lovan osaloch, I see everything that Lovan is doing for you. Another pshat which can be said is the negative effect. We see when he first begins his journey, his thoughts are more ruchniest thoughts. But at the end, when he's about to leave for Lavan, he's creeping in his more material thoughts of the flax, which should be his wages for working for Lavan. So always according to the Madrega of each tzaddik, that's a pshat when the Malach is telling him, I see that Lavan is having some effect on you. Your chas v'shalom becoming too good of a talmid of him, and therefore it's time to leave. And that's also, you can mention some other points of showing that time to leave now is when Lavan also tells him, when he first meets him, and he says he'll bear with him, so to speak, for a month. Because Ach Atmi Vosariya Ata, so Shiva points out, Ach is a gematria of 21. That unknowingly, Lavan is saying 21 years, that would be too much. Then you would become Atmi Vosari, just like me. That would be the time that I'll have the effect of you becoming my Talmud Muvuk, so to speak. That's the danger point. And we can also add Reuven, his first son, would be bar mitzvah by then. At this time he's 12 years old, if we chesben it out. You know how impressionable an adolescent is when he becomes bar mitzvah. And therefore, that has to be the time to leave. we see the great lesson of how to deal with people by Yaakov Avinu when he meets the shepherds, and he begins by asking them, Achai, in a term of endearment, my brothers, being matar of them, asking them from where they came. That's how he starts getting familiar with them, even though, as we see, he had a problem with them, that it looked as if they're being lax in their work, not time to gather the sheep together and call it a day. It's still enough time to pasture them. But he doesn't go into that right away. He starts giving musar, as we would understand would be a turnoff. But he gets friendly with them, shows them his care for them, and then when he shows that he's a mensch, then he nicely also says something which has to be said. We have to give musa, you're supposed to give musa, but in the right way, as we learned from Yaakov Avinu, and mentions to them what is going on, that it seems that they are not doing their job. Then, as we mentioned, Laban first meets him, and one of the things he also tells him, after he does stay with him a month, he says, Achi, achi, ata, bavatani chinam, will you serve me for nothing? Tell me, what are your wages? Seems very strange, Laban, as we know, what he will do later on, what he's done before. The famous trickster, phony baloney. Why at all would he have an inclination to ask Yaakov Avinu what are his wages? When he said he will take care of him for a month, since he's a relative, the Rosh Hashiva Shlita points out beautifully that we can learn Achi Achi Ota, like Esav, when he said Achi Kara Shmo Yaakov. Wasn't it rightly so his name called Yaakov? Same thing here. Rightly you're my brother. Meaning, as the Gemara says, that in general, most of the time, the nature of the children goes after the wife's brothers. So here also he's mentioning that being like him, hinting to that here, he knows if it was him there would be something in back of his mind, so to speak. Okay, I'll play my cards right, I'll let it go, but I have a cheshbon. I'm not going to do this for nothing. When the time comes, I'll add it all up, and then I'll give him a big bill. I did more than what's supposed to be done. So, therefore, he's telling Yaakov Avinu, I want all the cards on the table. So to speak, I know what I would do. So therefore, I want to know now. I want to know now, do you have any bill for me, so to speak? Let's get all the cards on the table. Not like he himself would do. And we see an amazing thing here, that when he is tricked by Laban and he switches Leah with Rachel, Yaakov Avinu goes along with the deal that for another 7 years he will work for Rachel, and therefore he accepts. In any court of law, as we can understand, not a court of law, Doma Amora, of course, with Levin as a judge, but any court of law, even amongst the Goyim, any Ben Noah, would clearly agree that this was a trick, Geneva, and he has to keep the original deal where he explicitly agreed to giving him Rachel. So why would Yaakov Avinu agree to this? The Rosh Hashiva Shlita points out, it shows to the extent of chesed one has to do when it comes to the Torah way of chesed, the only true way of chesed. Yaakov Avinu understood how Leah would feel if he would do something like that, go to court, not accept the deal. Oh, my sister, she was good enough to work for 7 years without a problem. I'm just not good enough. The busha, the feeling of despair that someone would have from that. And Yaakov Avinu understood it and knew that this is what he has to do to show the chashivas of Leah also. And one of the many examples of Leah's chashivas greatness is that, for instance, the pasuk before Shlishi, Vene Leah Rakos, as the Gemara darshins from the Lashon of royalty, Recha. And what was her royalty? One of the aspects of a royalty was the concern and love that she had to participate in the future of Klal Yisrael, of the Shiftei Ka, to be as much as part of it, a part of it as she could. That was part of her crying, as we know. Not to fall to the lot of Esav Chasushon. And that we see also in her children, with the royalty that came out of her, the houses of Malchus, Yehuda, for instance, and Kahuna from Levi, who showed also, just like their mother, the concern and love for Klal Yisrael. As one example, Reuven himself, even though he knew, just like the other brothers, about Yosef and felt those negative feelings, he still said, he's my brother, I have to save him. While Levi, with his sister Dina, together with Shimon, of course, willing to risk their lives to save their sister. And that we can see, the Rosh Hashiva points out, in the Lashon Rakos also, which has the same letters as Kisro, his crown, these crowns of royalty, of Kahuna, of Yaakov Avinu, right? And then we see by Rachel, which was once mentioned before, that just as by Sarah, a similar way, Rachel comes to Yaakov and says that she'll give Zillah, her made to Yaakov Avinu, and through that, the Mi'at Hashem, she will also have children being built up from that fact of her willingness to give her maid to her husband. And Rosh Hashanah points out something that we know nowadays with fertility clinics, and one of the other examples of people who finally get children after many years without children is they take in a foster or adopt a child, and many a time because of that you see that afterwards they give birth to their own children. So as everything has a source in the Torah, he points out how this is the meaning of Rachel's kavana, that through her willingness to give a maid, as Rashi says, that those children that her maid will have, she will rear also. And through that way, she will be Zochem Yitzhashem to have her own biological children. Then we have the Maisa of Rachel asking Leah for the Dudoyim that Reuven brings her. We should point out that Ramban mentions that the Pshat in these Dudoyim was like a fertility medicine, and that was her kavana here also. We see though that through this incident, Leah Zelcha to have Yisachar. And we all know that Yisachar is spelled with two sins, but we only pronounce one. Torah Tamima gives a beautiful pshat in this. He says the two sins symbolize the two schar mishonos that are mentioned. We see in Pasuk Tezayin, it's used the double lashon, schar tchaticha. And this is the point here also, that the one schar was, as Leah herself points out, the fact that she gave her shivka also, just like Rachel did, she gave her maid to Yaakov Avinu, so to speak, to give her own rival to her husband. And another scar was this incident itself. Through giving the Dudoyim through to Rachel, she had the opportunity of accepting Rachel's offer to be with Yaakov that night. So the reason why one schar is mentioned when we say Yisachar, we make the sound of that sin, is because of the maid. But the other one, which is not as neistic, so to speak, to be mentioned, not so modest, in order to be sneeristic in that regard, we mention, we just have it there, but we don't say it, it's silent. When Rachel gives birth to Yosef, Yaakov says, it's time to leave. Yosef has been born, as Rashi points out. The adversary of Esav, the one who can overcome him. And Rosh Hashanah points out another aspect of this, the, so to speak, Mida connected Mida, the power base of Yosef. And he says that the beginning of the parasha, as we mentioned, when Yaakov mentions his nether to Hashem, and he says, "V'shapti b'shalom al beis avi." Of course, Yaakov, speaking to Hashem, he said, "Without the b'shalom, v'shapti al beis avi," he surely means, and Hashem knows it, safely, not in the coffin, chas v'shalom. But we can say, the Rosh Hashivah says, that another meaning behind the shalom is the fact that we know the second Beit HaMikdash, which descendants of Edom destroyed, and we have our present galus till the third Beit HaMikdash comes and the Mashiach, was due to sinat chinam, baseless hatred for one another. And the antidote to that, as we can understand, would be Ahavat Chinam, baseless love. And that is symbolized by Yosef, who although was mistreated by his brothers, who made a mistake, of course, and thought they were doing the right thing, but even so, all the troubles that it brought upon him, he didn't let that stop him from still loving them and taking care of them in Mitzrayim to the utmost of his ability. And that's the symbolism here. Esav, which you can say also is symbolized by Sinat Chinam, also is the gematria of shalom. The antidote to that piece of way is the shalom of Ahavat Chinam, which is symbolized by Yosef. And when Yaakov Avinu calls together his wives to discuss with them what Hashem has told him to leave now, it seems interesting that instead of just saying right away, of course, do what Hashem has told you, they tell him about how terrible they were treated by their father, and of course that's why also they certainly should leave, as Hashem said. So I feel what we can say is, of course, it's the same thing, that's what they're saying. Right away, Hashem said it, that's what we should do, no question about it. But I feel what they're also telling us is that anything we can see in the chesed of Hashem, we have to acknowledge it. Give halel, bahudoya to Hashem, and that's what they're saying also. The fact that so much has been done by their father detrimentally to them, kal v'chomer, as they say, and that's the number one thing. V'atah kol asher amar Elokim eilecha aseh. And then at the end of the parasha, we see when Yaakov and Laban take leave of each other, it's an interesting lashon that the Torah uses as the maftir. V'yelech v'yoshav Laban imkomo V'yaakov holach v'darko. And I feel what this is showing us, that after everything, after seeing such a tzaddik for all these years, and not only that, Hashem himself comes to love him in a dream, as we see, and it had no effect. The Yetzer is still one out, Rahman al-Islam. It did not faze him, and he just went back to his old ways, his old where he was. Whereas Yaakov Avinu did not, Baruch Hashem, learn from the Lavan ways, but went for Darko, as always, the greatest and highest Madregis to reach, to do the same Hashem. And may we all be Zeicha to be like Yaakov, never to let us be affected by the evil around us, that's for sure, but only the good, and to influence evil to become good.